How many of you glad to be in the Lord's house tonight? A couple of you?
You should all be glad.
I know if nothing else, he's glad that we're here. And he's glad that we're here to look into his word. You can be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. I know that some of you who weren't here Sunday morning for the adult Sunday school class, how many of you were not in the adult Sunday school class Sunday morning? Okay, good. How many of you were in the adult Sunday school class? Alright, I'm going to call on y'all's memory this evening. Alright? I want to know, somebody tell me, what did we start talking about Sunday morning? Spiritual gifts. Now, can somebody give me a brief definition or meaning what a spiritual gift is? We talked a little bit about it, just whatever, we did not find a scripture reference, but some of us gave it in our own words. Okay, very good. Can somebody tell me who has a spiritual gift? Who has a gift? All Christians have gifts. Very good. This one's a little bit tougher. The gifts have two purposes. One is for lifting up something or someone. What is that? Lifting up body of Christ and glorifying who? Glorifying God. Very good. Anybody know what's the difference between a natural ability and a spiritual gift? I want to take a shot at it. Right, a natural ability is what you're born with. That's right. And so if it comes from the Holy Spirit, only Christians can have spiritual gifts. Natural abilities can be had by anyone. Alright, now we talked about the way spiritual gifts need to be used. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that everything has to be done decently and in order. But in 1 Corinthians 13, all spiritual gifts need to be used in the attitude of what? Attitude of love, that's right. Very good. Okay, we looked at one list of spiritual gifts. Where was that list found? Either book, chapter, verse, whatever you know. What? Romans 12, 3 to 8. I'll just quickly call off the gifts for you. The first one was prophecy. Prophet is basically a man who declares God's word. Now it's through scripture. The second gift was ministry, which we learned is not standing on the pulpit and preaching, but it's actually a servant and service. The third gift was teaching. Just the ability to explain God's word to others, no matter how much or how little you know of it. The fourth gift, exhortation. Somebody help me out with exhortation. What does that mean? Gift of encouragement. The fifth gift in that list was the gift of giving. There was also the gift of ruling. People are in the leadership role. And also the gift of showing mercy. Being able to help out others no matter what they've done to us. Now we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to run into another list of gifts here. So maybe you're looking and saying, well, I don't see my gift here. Looking at this list, I don't see anything that pertains to me. But we're going to look at a couple more tonight, and you look and see if you can find your gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We'll stop right there for now. If you're the type of person who likes to sit with your Bible open in your lap, that's good, because we're going to be turning to a lot of passages tonight. So you might as well keep it right there. The next list of gifts we run into. First of all, we're reminded in these first verses that we need to work together. It's told that there may be different gifts, but it's all the same Spirit working in and through each one of us. And we all need to be unified as Christians, not separated, not having an argument one with another, but working together and loving one another, no matter what. And it starts to call off the list of the gifts here to us. And we're going to see, take a look and see if one of these gifts might pertain to you. The first one is the gift of wisdom. Whew, you probably sat back and say, I know that, ain't me. But the gift of wisdom is something that a leader should have. Because I believe wisdom is someone who can give godly insight to help when there are problems that need to be solved. When there's advice that needs to be given, the person with wisdom is there to give that advice. Maybe when it comes to defending your faith, the person with wisdom can go ahead and defend that faith. We know Solomon, wisest man in the whole earth. And he had a problem brought to him once about these two women who had one child. And they were fussing about whose child was it. Which one of them it was. Solomon, the wise man, brought out the sword and said, let's cut them in half. You take one half and you take the other. And of course the mother automatically jumped up and said, no, that's all right, let her have it. Because of his wisdom he was able to solve the problem. And there are certain ones of you that have been given wisdom from God to be able to solve problems like that. And no doubt as you found out, here in a local church like this, there are problems that are going to come up. There are going to be situations where it doesn't seem like there's any right way to solve it. It seems like you're going to hurt someone's feelings one way or another. And you're just not sure what to do. God has given someone the gift of wisdom to be able to come in and to help with that problem. I said maybe defending the faith. I know every one of you don't doubt what you believe. But maybe you've been approached by someone about what you believe and you sit back and you start to stammer a little bit and you start to think a little bit and you might think of a few verses here and a few verses there. But there are some people, if they were asked about anything in their faith, they could automatically come up with a verse to defend that faith. They could automatically tell you where to turn. They could automatically give you their opinion and their belief. And they can automatically give it to you in an easy form to understand. Very simple. That's the gift of wisdom. And you may never get on the pulpit, but you might have that gift. You may never get up here and sing with the choir or open up a service, but you might have that gift to be able to help out with these problems. The second gift we see there is knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom are a little bit different. Knowledge is being able to go into God's Word and to be able to understand it. To really look into it with great understanding. To be able to comprehend it very easily. For some of you, it's a lot easier to read the Bible than it is for others. Some of you, if you're like me, you take the Bible up and you read through something and you say, well, let me read that again. And you read it and say, let me read that again. And you still may not get it. And you go to someone else and they can say, oh, what God is trying to say to us here is this. And they have the gift of knowledge. They've already looked into the Word. And they've already studied it. And God has revealed that to them a lot more clearer than He has to me or you. Because they have that gift of knowledge. And most of the time, the people who have the gift of knowledge has the gift of teaching. To be able to share that knowledge with others. Because it's no good to have it bottled up on the inside. We need to have it, when we learn it, to be willing to go out and give it to others. To be willing to share it with others. Whatever we know, like I say, if it's a little bit or if it's a whole lot, whatever you learn from God's Word, give it to others. Share it with others. We keep going down the list. The next gift is faith. Jesus told us if we had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, we'd be able to tell the mountain to move and it would be removed. Anybody in Spanish Wells move mountains yet? Okay, if you all raised your hand, that would have been the first for me. to see anyone move mountain, but some people are given extraordinary faith to do specific jobs for Christ. I think of George Mueller, and most of you know the story, how he ran an orphanage, not knowing where any income was coming in, lots of times not knowing where the food was coming from. Many times it was time to set up for a meal and he'd still bring the children in. He'd sit them around the table, no food in the kitchen, and he'd give thanks for the food that they were going to receive. And most of the time, before he was finished praying, there was a knock on the door. There was somebody there, either a bread truck that had broke down and wasn't going to make it into town, so he decided to give them the bread, or someone else showing up with food or clothing or something else that they needed. And if this man hadn't had that extraordinary faith, he'd have never continued what he did. He'd have looked in the kitchen and said, well, we don't have anything to give these children. I guess we've got to shut down. Our financial statement doesn't look too good this month. I don't see how we could continue. Maybe God has given you faith for an extraordinary job like that. How do you think missionaries go out into places where they know they're not going to have any food definitely coming in? A lot of them, they don't know what kind of circumstances they're going to run into, but they go out in faith, realizing that the Lord is going to take care of it. And all throughout the world, there are a lot of places that have been set up similar to George Mueller's orphanage that are running on faith. There are mission departments that are running on faith. There are drug rehabilitation centers that are running on faith. There are children's homes and old folks' homes that are running on faith. Because somebody had a vision and they had faith enough to go forward with that vision, believing that it was the Lord's work and believing that He would take care of it. Maybe God has given you faith for some extraordinary job, and that's bottled up inside of you. The next one is healing. Some people say, try to say that God doesn't heal. Don't believe that. He still heals. He still works miracles. That's the next two gifts there, healing and miracles. God still can work miracles today. God still can do extraordinary things today. He's just looking for faithful people to come and ask. He's looking for faithful people to get on their knees and ask Him to do these extraordinary works. I don't believe it takes somebody banging you over your head to heal you. I believe it takes someone getting on their knees, praying for that healing, praying for that miracle to take place. God still works that way. We're told in His Word that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In fact, in James we're told if someone's sick, we need to call the leaders, the elders in, to pray over that person. Because God can heal that person if it's His will. It's in His power. There's nothing that He can't do. He wants to work a miracle in your life. Maybe it's through physical healing. Maybe it's some other problem that you're going through that you don't know how it's going to be solved. But if you rely on Him, I guarantee you He will take care of it. I guarantee you a difference can be made. And that difference can be made when we decide to pray. When we decide to get on our knees. When we decide to lift our burdens and others' burdens to Him. Then He will hear and He will answer our prayers. There's the gift of prophecy. We've already talked about that. Here's an interesting one. Discerning of spirits. Some of us want to deny that we are fighting a spiritual battle today. Sometimes we don't talk about the power of Satan, the power of his demons. We're told that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. That's who we're fighting against. And right now, Satan is trying to send those evil spirits into your life, transforming into an angel of light, to appear like something good, to appear as though there's nothing wrong with it, to try seep into your life. Maybe it's the TV programs that you watch, and you may sit down and turn them on and they say, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe it's the books that you read, Maybe it's something else that you run into in your life that Satan is throwing out there and it seems like it's good. Well, there are some people that have the gift of discerning the spirits, of knowing whether God would be pleased with this, or actually seeing Satan's hands in it. And sometimes if we get caught up in something that we see nothing wrong with, and someone else comes along and says, you know, you really shouldn't be watching that. You really shouldn't be getting involved in that. We quickly want to jump down their throat. Don't get caught up in my business. I'm going to do what I want to do. Maybe that person has been given the gift, discerning the spirits. I'll tell you, Satan isn't going to attack you many times like a roaring lion. Most of the time, he's coming like that angel of light. He's going to appear nice and beautiful and something wonderful. And you're going to walk closer and closer until finally you're caught. Be looking out. Be watching out. Make sure that no matter what is coming into your life, that you're following God's will. That you're following God's plan. We quickly run down. Tongues. We know the gift of tongues was given to the original disciples in the book of Acts. They stood among a huge crowd of many different nations. And trying to stand up and have 8 or 9 interpreters, Peter spoke. And the words came out to each one to understand in his own language. And of course we find there the interpretation of tongues. It's something we don't find much in our assemblies today because there isn't much use for it here. Turn to just to chapter 14 for a few minutes and look at just a few things about tongues we need to keep in mind. Chapter 14, verse 19, Paul says about speaking in tongues, "Yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Verse 23, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad?" And if you go to speak in tongues, verse 27, "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2 or at the most by 3, and that by course, let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God." And so we see the gift of speaking in tongues is not useful when we have everybody with the same language. Paul says it's better to get up and speak 10,000 words. I'm sorry, 5 words than to speak 10,000 words in tongues. And I believe it's still there. It's still used for God's specific purpose. Then, of course, we go down to verse 28 of chapter 12. And we see the next list of gifts, some of them we've seen already. Verse 28 to verse 31. "God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." When you get time, read that little portion in between there that we missed. But we see some more gifts. The first one that he's listing here is apostles. Some people will say that there are no apostles today. Apostles were people who actually saw Jesus Christ himself. And that's true in a sense. But I believe there are people who are doing the apostles' job. Because the apostles, they were the ones who went where there were people who had never heard of Jesus. Never heard of Christ. They went there and they preached the gospel to them. They preached salvation through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross to them. And people were saved. And they started a church. They planted a church. They set up elders and deacons. They taught the people. I believe apostles are our modern day missionaries. Ones who are going where there is no knowledge of Jesus Christ. Ones who are going to start churches. Ones who are going to see souls saved. Prayers went up tonight for missionaries. But maybe you could be a missionary. Maybe you have that apostle's heart. That missionary gift. Are you scared to try it? Are you scared to reach out there and go ahead for the Lord? Is something holding you back? Is something stopping you? You're scared to give up your possessions? Scared to leave your home? God might be calling you to head out to those mission fields where you're needed. We mentioned prophets and teachers before. The next gift, and also healings, the next gift helps. It's one if we've come so far and you've looked at the gifts and you say, I don't think either one fits for me yet. This is your gift. The gift of helps. Those people who do the behind the scenes stuff. Those people who do the little things what no one else notices. Those people who do the little jobs, what the church would fall to pieces if you didn't have them. Those people who are here first thing to have the doors open. They make sure those lights are on outside so you can come in to find a clear parking space. They make sure this air conditioner is on in here. They're the people who make sure this place is clean. They're the types of people who make sure that we have a bulletin to look at on Sunday morning. That we can look at prayer requests. We can look at the order of the meetings. They're people who don't get noticed. Like my buddy Grant sitting back there. And those who work the sound system. Who sit back there and nobody ever notices what they're doing. But they're doing a work for the Lord. The people who go out and visit the elderly. Who visit the sick. Who take time out of their own schedule to go reach out to them. These are the people who just do whatever needs to be done. If you come inside the church and you see somebody's taking the hymn books and throwing them all over the floor, that's the person who walks up and starts picking them up and putting them back in their seats. If you go on the outside and you see children running out the road, that's the person who goes out there to those children and tries to get them in off the road. And tries to keep them safe. That's the gift of helps. Willing to be able to do whatever needs to be done. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it costs. I'm there. I'm willing. I don't care if nobody ever notices what I do. The type of people who take time to prepare refreshments for youth group. The type of people who are there when conference time comes up. Who are out in that kitchen, slaving some of them night and day. People who, when you have a visiting speaker come in, and one thing I've learned, I can't come up here again without Natika because I'm going to get fat. But there are so many people who are quick to offer you food, quick to feed you, quick to take care of you. Those are the people who do the little things. And I believe for a good many of us, that gift is wrapped up inside of each one of us. And sometimes we're even scared to do that. We just want to come in and we want to sit in our seats and say, well, I came to church, isn't that enough for what I do for the Lord this week? God's calling you to use that gift, whether it's great or whether it's little, for Him. Just one more here in this portion is governments. Similar to ruling, the person who's in charge, a good organizer. That could be an elder or a deacon. That could mean coming to the Sunday school superintendent, the people who work with the youth group, the ones who are in charge if there are groups that go out visiting. When there's a crusade, the ones who are in charge of organizing the crusade itself, the governments. One more list, Ephesians chapter 4. And there are still, there are two more gifts I want to just look at. In this portion of scripture, we're going to read quite a few verses, but I just want to focus on two more gifts that we haven't covered. Ephesians 4, I want to read verse 4 all the way down to verse 16, because it's all very important. Talks to us first of all about the unity once again. Ephesians 4 and 4, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. The Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he has ascended up on high, he hath led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Just focus on verse 11. Two gifts we've left out. The first one is evangelist. So far, every gift we've called off, you don't have to get on the pulpit or up in front of the crowd to use. This one's no different. Yes, you can use it up on the pulpit. Yes, you can use it to preach an evangelistic message on a Sunday evening. But that isn't where evangelism should be done. Do you know that when the church was first started, they didn't have a gospel meeting? They only gathered together to teach one another. Their gospel services were each one going out, telling their friends, telling their family, telling the people they met along the road, telling the people they worked with. Going door to door. Anyone they saw, they told to them the story of Jesus. And you may have the gift of evangelism, but you could never be a public speaker. Nothing wrong with that. Because we're losing our one-on-one, our personal evangelism. Even if we go to people, very seldom do we share the gospel with them. We're saying, why don't you come out to church Sunday night? Well, let's get them inside our church and then they could hear the gospel. We want them to come to us. No, we need to go to them. We need to carry our candle to them. We need to reach out to them. You might have that gift of evangelism. You're out on the boat, on a trip, and you know there are people on that same boat with you who aren't saved. How many times do you mention Jesus to them? Maybe you're in construction. You're on top of a roof. Everybody's on top of roofs now. Reshingling roofs with people who aren't saved. Maybe weeks and months at a time, how many times do you mention Jesus to them? Maybe as women, wherever you're working, you meet others. Maybe as you run into each other in the grocery store or somewhere else along the road, you may see that person several times a day, but how many times do you mention Jesus to them? Evangelism needs to be done by going out. And that gift of evangelism is inside of you. And the last one is the pastor. Here's the hardest job out of them all. Because the word pastor doesn't mean the guy who gets paid to stay at our church and preach on Sunday. The word pastor actually means elder, or shepherd, bishop, overseer, presbyter. That's all the same person. The pastor is the shepherd. The shepherd is the one who just simply takes care of the sheep, who reaches out to whatever need it might be in a leadership role, watching out over them, caring for them, feeding them. Have you ever, as a young person, ever desired to be an elder? It could be something the Lord's got prepared for you, something He's training you for. Have you ever considered it? So there are the gifts. Let me run over them again. Look at your life. See if you have them. Prophecy. There's the gift of ministry, a servant, teaching, encouragement, giving, ruling, showing mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing and miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, apostles, helps, governments, evangelist, or pastor. If tonight you've looked over that list and you still don't see any gift that's suited for you, or you're still confused, come to myself or someone else. We'll be happy to help you, because if you are really saved, there is really a gift inside of you, and you have to use it for Him. You need to use it for Christ. I'm just going to close out by reading 1 Corinthians 13, the first few verses. As a reminder, no matter how gifted we are, love is the most important thing. Just going to read verses 1 to 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've gifted us, that You have given each one of us a purpose in this life, and help us each day to search out more and more how we can use that gift, how we can serve You better. Help us to love one another more, Heavenly Father. We thank You that You first loved us. You demonstrated that love by sending Your Son to die for us. And it's that same kind of love we should have one for another. Lord, we just thank You for each one that's been out here tonight. We pray that Your word has been a blessing to them, not because of the one who delivered it, because of the one who originally it came from, because it's Your word. Father, we just pray that Your Holy Spirit would go with each one as each one leaves, that they would receive a filling of Your Spirit daily, and would go out and carry the word for You, use the gift for You, that You would receive all the honor and all the glory. Father, we just thank You once again for this privilege of gathering here, of praying and looking into Your word. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Can we just sing that chorus, "I will serve Thee," as we're leaving?